I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in, 855-212-4227, and you could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Got Pat Boyle and Stuart Kovacs rocking and rolling with me all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So we had two Monday Night Football games last night to conclude Week 14 of the NFL season. Personally, I didn't like that we had two games going on at once, and I even have like a nice TV setup, got two TVs in one room in my New York City apartment, so I was able to watch both of those games. But on one of the TVs, you had the sensational story of Tommy Cutlets in Tommy DeVito, as this kid who's 25 years old, the quarterback of the Giants, still lives at home with his parents, and now is the talk of the New York sports scene, and even getting a lot of national love, like on this show. And you had the up and down play, the tale of two halves with the Green Bay Packers, where the Packers defense comes up small after getting the lead, and you allowed Tommy DeVito to cook up his special sauce on the field. So that was one storyline. The other, though, was maybe one of the worst choke jobs we've seen of this NFL season. And even Pat Boyle said this the other day. You know, Tennessee was a smart gambling play. You know, you plus them on the big number because Mike Vrabel is a heck of a coach. They have some pop offensively with Derrick Henry and DeAndre Hopkins. And Will Levis, you know, he kind of reminds me a lot of like Carson Wentz, where he's a risk taker. You could see some of the ability. You could see some of the natural talent. But through the flow of a 60-minute game, there's going to be some special moments. And then there's going to be some moments where he couldn't even pitch the ball correctly to Derrick Henry, and it's fumbled and it's turned into a touchdown as Miami a few plays later was able to cash it in. Or even right early on in the game where he somehow threw a pick six to a big defensive lineman, which, don't get me wrong, I love a fat guy touchdown. There's nothing more exciting in sports than a large fella scoring a touchdown, but that was not a good play by Will Levis. But I look back from that game last night, and my two biggest takeaways is Tyreek Hill displayed why he's the MVP of the league, and then also the Miami Dolphins continue to show you why, even though they have a record that indicates they're a contender, they're really a pretender. Because Miami this year, after 14 weeks, they only have one win up against a team that is currently above 500. And that was their big-time 70-point performance beatdown up against the Denver Broncos, I believe back in September. But you see them in some of these bigger games, and last night wasn't a big game they were expected to win, and they're up 14 points with 3 minutes to go, and they become the first team this century to lose a game in regulation despite being up 14 points with less than 3 minutes to play. Like, that's how historically bad, since 2001, that performance was for Miami last night and that choke job. But Miami this year against the Eagles couldn't put together a great effort. Against Kansas City, driving late, Tua has a chance to tie up the game. We all know the back-to-back plays where it was a severe underthrow, and then the next play, he fumbled the snap. They got their doors blown off by the Buffalo Bills back earlier in the season when Miami was starting to pick up some momentum. So they don't have a signature win this season. They don't have a win that makes me say, okay, come playoff time, this team's going to be able to get the job done in three playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. Like, they still have a chance to get a bye. They could have controlled the inside track last night, but they blew the game with 3 minutes to go when they were up by 14 points. And it was tough for me to move off of that Kansas City game in Germany. And we talked about this numerous times where Tua Tagovailoa had those two poor plays back-to-back with the game on the line. And I'm cognizant of the fact that Tua is having a good season. But sometimes when you have not been living up to your draft pick, when unfortunately injuries played a role last year and everyone was counting you out, people like to take immediate victories when something looks like it's building in a positive direction. And they like to drag people that doubted Tua. And I'm not saying Tua is a bad quarterback, but this idea that Tua is one of the most feared quarterbacks in the league and that he's an elite quarterback, I don't care what the stats say, it's a bunch of utter nonsense. He's good. He's solid. But he doesn't fear you like Tyreek Hill fears you. And Tyreek Hill, and now you should fear Tyreek Hill. And when he gets hurt in the game last night, and Tyreek Hill goes down in the first quarter, towards the end of the first quarter, what did that offense do? And yeah, Tyreek Hill gets back in the game, and the only reason he got back in the game was because his wife basically said, man up and get back in the game if you want to come home tonight. And he goes back into the game, but you knew that Tyreek Hill was not his normal self. And last night, even when gifted a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go, gifted a pick six, gifted a stupid boneheaded play by Tennessee where they fumbled the ball on a pitch to Derrick Henry, and they also muffed the punt, you still couldn't find a way to win the game. And that's alarming to me. And it further just shows you that Miami, they may have the record of a contender, but they're not a team that I trust in a year where, quite frankly, who the heck do you trust in the AFC? Because whenever you start to trust a team, whenever they start to enter your circle of trust, they lose the game. All right, this goes for every team this year in the AFC. They lose the game in embarrassing fashion, and you're left with your jaw hitting the floor saying, what the heck just happened? But last night for Miami, in a isolated or sort of an isolated window, because I know we had the two Monday Night Football games, but in a primetime spot with a lot of people watching, you know, I don't want to say that they could only lose, but they win that game. It's not like we walk away singing the praises of the Miami Dolphins. But it's how they lost that game. And it's not just blowing the lead with 3 minutes to go when you're up by 14. But it's showing you that the quarterback probably doesn't have a ceiling of greatness in the NFL. And his ceiling is probably just being a good quarterback that could win double-digit games. But he's not someone that I'm going to feel great about to carry a team and lead a team if Tyreek Hill is hurt. And also, his awareness last night was awful. And I get it, the offensive line did not play well last night, but how many times was Tyreek Hill or was Tua Tagovailoa in that pocket and he almost walked into a sack or he tripped over his own offensive lineman or just stumbled on the turf? You know, the turf monsters were a real thing last night. And you look at the offensive production, because you may say, oh, Zach, you're being too harsh. And if you didn't really watch the game, they scored nearly 30 points. There were three touchdowns for Miami last night. And the three touchdowns, one was a defensive score. The other two were from Raheem Mostert. And they were both set up in great field position because of dumb plays and mistakes made by Tennessee. So I look at that Miami team last night, And for most of the year, I've been saying these things. I've been saying they're a pretender. They're a team that will win double-digit games. Heck, I picked them before the start of the season to win the AFC East. So you can't call me a hater. You can't say I don't believe in this team. But expectations change. And before the start of the season, a lot of people were like, wow, I can't believe Gelb is taking the Miami Dolphins to win the AFC East. But when you have Buffalo struggling, when Aaron Rodgers goes down four plays into the season, when the Patriots suck this year, just winning the AFC East is not good enough. And you never know when you're going to be in this position with also what appears to be such an easy road. You know, the best team right now in the AFC is Baltimore. Kansas City struggling. The Bills struggling. The Bengals don't have Joe Burrow. Deshaun Watson out for the season. Justin Herbert out for the season. Like, you go through these AFC teams, Rodgers done for the season. It's right there for the taking. And Miami could be that team that gets to the Super Bowl this year. Right? Like, they have enough offense where they should be able to outscore a lot of teams. But in big games and big moments this year, this team hasn't showed up. This team didn't deliver up against the Bills. This team didn't deliver up against the Chiefs. This team didn't deliver up against the Eagles. And I'll say it once again, they only have one win right now with a team through 14 weeks that is currently above 500, and it's the Broncos, who were god-awful when they played them. Right? They got off to a 1-5 start, Denver. And I just don't believe this year, and I just can't envision this year, that you're going to see Tua Tagovailoa in a Super Bowl, because your quarterback needs to make big plays. And it was damaging when you go back to Germany and when you go up against Kansas City and you had the severe underthrow and then you fumble the snap. Like, that was the lasting image for me on this Dolphins season so far. But last night, historically bad loss, a severe choke job, and once Tyreek Hill leaves the game, and I know he came back, you saw who the most important player is, not only on the Dolphins, but who's the most valuable player in football this year. And that's Tyreek Hill. And Tua, to no surprise, looks like an extremely different quarterback without Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is what gets that machine going in Miami. And when he's not at 100%, or when he's not able to get on the field, that team does not spark fear in my eyes. And that's a problem. Because, right, you got Boy Wonder, the genius, in Mike McDaniel. You got Tyreek Hill out of the game. Tua Tagovailoa. All these Dolphins fans want to tell me how great Tua is. Tua's good. He's solid. But great quarterbacks last night find a way to win that game, especially with how many times they were gifted good field position and how many mistakes Tennessee made. And it's amazing how lost Tua Tagovailoa looked last night in what's been a good year for him. And that offense, quite frankly, was brutal. It was terrible last night. And that's on McDaniel, and that's on Tua. And I know usually in sports, you don't win the MVP this way. Because how many years do we sit here and we go, oh, this player's injured, this player's hurt, he's showing why he's the MVP. That's not how the MVP is won. But in a year where the MVP candidates are underwhelming, like, yeah, Dak's having a good season. Brock Purdy's having a good season. Lamar Jackson is playing some good football right now. But in a year where there's no quarterback that I love for the MVP, and this is not a new take for me. I've been saying this for 4 or 5 weeks. My two MVP choices, number one would be Tyreek, and then number two would be run CMC with Christian McCaffrey. And there was a little bit for a while you could make the case for Myles Garrett and TJ Watt because of how they're carrying those defenses and they're carrying that team with no quarterback play. But a defensive player is probably not going to win the award. But you saw it last night. Tyreek Hill, not 100%. Tyreek Hill in and out of the lineup. All you Dolphins fans that are like, up, Tua's great. Up, Tua's this. Up, Tua's elite. The Tuanon coming after me. And Tua Tagovailoa up, let's stake the flag in the ground and let's say how he's a top five quarterback in the league. He looked the farthest thing from a top five quarterback last night. He didn't even look like a top 10 quarterback last night. That is just brutal. Really, really a brutal loss. So my biggest takeaway and my two biggest takeaways from the game last night, Tyreek Hill should be the MVP, and then also the Miami Dolphins, they are just not ready in a year where it could actually be the easiest road ever in the AFC to get to a Super Bowl. That team cannot be trusted in the big moments. And I'm telling you too, the Jalen Phillips loss is massive for Miami. I know people won't have that take tonight, but I said this in the last month or two with Jalen Phillips, and I know that he had the injury on Black Friday up against the Jets with the Achilles injury, but I was even saying this before the Achilles injury. They need him to be what Hassan Reddick has been the last 2 years for the Eagles if Miami was going to go to the level that they were going to go. But after last night, you know Phillips is not coming back this year. We'll see moving forward when Tyreek can get back to 100%. Miami displayed their deficiencies. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's not like this is just me crushing them after losing a game to what was a really good team. Tennessee's not a good team. They've been underwhelming this year. They've been disappointing this year. And here we are with a big-time disappointment performance last night from the Dolphins. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Where's your belief level in the Miami Dolphins this year? And also, who should win the NFL MVP? We'll take a break. When we come on back, do you believe in Jordan Love? I'll give you my answer on that next.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo stove, fixed fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
If you're a last-minute gift shopper, then Instacart is your holiday rescue app this season. No more tracking packages, no more trips to the post office, and no more Christmas gifts arriving in February. Instead, you can just download Instacart to order gifts like beauty, tech, and gourmet goods from local stores and get them delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Plus, right now, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders. This offer is valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. Must be 21 plus to purchase alcohol where available.
Bring the sounds of the season to life with the Philips Fidelio FB1 soundbar featuring DTS:X and IMAX Enhanced. Build your full home theater wirelessly when you connect to multiple devices using DTS Play-Fi technology and experience the thrill of immersive audio that moves above and around you as it transports you into your favorite films when you're home for the holidays. Visit philips.com/home-sound to learn more. DTS.
Dedicated to sensational.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
I do have to say a happy birthday to Pat Boyle today. How you doing, Pat Boyle?
I'm great. I'm great, Galb. Thanks, brother. Appreciate that, man.
Can you give me a little, like, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? You want me to be like Sean Stellato, Tommy DeVito's agent here?
How about that? The chicken cutlets, baby.
Dude, that was phenomenal. That is every, you know, us here in New York City / New Jersey, me a Jersey guy. Mm-hmm. That's like a dream come true to see literally somebody come off the street like Tommy DeVito did. And to perform the way he's performing for the Giants, it's a dream come true. And you see his family in the stands,
yeah,
kissing one another, going nuts.
Well, that was my favorite part of it, actually. So, like, we've heard the name Tom. Like, if you're a college football fan, you've heard the name Tommy DeVito, whether he was at Syracuse or Illinois. Like, you knew who he was. But no one ever thought this dude was going to play and start games and win games in the NFL. And this is an undrafted free agent who got more money. I heard his agent this morning on CBS Sports Network with Boomer and Geo. He had more money offered to him to join the Commanders, but he picked the Giants. This dude still lives in New Jersey. He grew up in New Jersey. He's 25 years old. And, you know, I'm not telling information that no one knows, but the guy lives with his parents still. And before the game last night, all right, big event. He's won two games, starting to become a big talk, big deal, you know, in a small scale, right? Like, I don't know how much there was a national appeal to Tommy DeVito until last night. And before the game starts, this dude's family is serving up 300 chicken cutlets in the parking lot. So I love that. And then you see this agent on the sideline playing the role, right? A proud Italian. He's in the pinstripe suit. He's got the fedora. He looked like he was a character on Sopranos. He looked like Silvio Dante, for crying out loud. And then Tommy DeVito, game right, is right there. Packers, Jordan Love, give him credit after not having the best performance. Matriculates the ball down the field, gets the ball in the end zone. And DeVito doesn't blink, goes right on the field, makes a big throw to Wandell Robinson, I believe it was, down the right sideline. And good to see a receiver, Wandell Robinson, who's a speedster from Kentucky. Last year had the injury, is starting to make some plays for the Giants. And the next thing you know, Randy Bullock, who's packing on a few pounds. Man, him and Zion Williamson. I could say this is a big fella. They look like they're going to the same buffets together. Randy Bullock kicks the game-winning field goal. But throughout the game, when you had this DeVito story just growing and getting, you know, to an exponential level of just craziness, they keep on panning to his dad, who his dad I absolutely love, right? His dad's a big, burly Italian guy, and he's doing the, you know, the Italian hand signals and all of that. And the agent gets a kiss from the dad, and the agent kisses the father back. And then I guess that's Tommy DeVito's brother who was next to him.
Yeah.
He knows, right? Because the dad doesn't know, like, social media, right? Everyone has a dad. My dad has, like, no clue what's going to go viral on social media. The agent, I think he knew what he was doing last night. But the brother of Tommy DeVito sitting there when the dad goes to lean in for a kiss right on the cheek. And he was like, oh, dad, get the heck away from me. But that was really cool. And my agent, actually, his son is the marketing rep. Not the guy that you saw in the pinstripe suit. But he's one of the marketing reps for DeVito. And I'm watching the game, and I see my agent, Mark Lepselter, and his son, Max, right next to all these guys. So it was a pretty cool story last night to see it unfold. And that's just why you love sports. Because, like, movie writers couldn't even come up with this. A 25-year-old undrafted kid that lives with his mother and his father, right? The mom still serves him up chicken cutlets. Which I think if you took some blood out of Tommy DeVito right now, it would only be chicken cutlets and how much we talk about the chicken cutlets. And here he is with Daniel Jones hurt. You know, all the other stuff. Tyrod Taylor, I know he's now back on the active roster, but he was hurt as well. DeVito gets an opportunity, and he takes off and is running with this. It's very similar, and it reminds me a lot. And I was texting this to a few people last night. It reminds me of the Jeremy Lin story with Linsanity. How that overtook New York City for what, like a month or so? Month and a half? And I'm not saying Tommy DeVito turns out to be this great player, but this is a story. You know, I know we're on a bunch of stations in Wisconsin today, and I love the Packers, but this is a story where if you're not a Packers fan, like last night, you're just a neutral observer of the game, and you see this Italian kid on the field with this agent that's playing the role and his father that looks like he's like about to pop out of tears of joy. It's a wonderful story. And it's an underdog story, and it's a really damn cool story that we got to see last night. Now, long-term picture for the Giants, they're winning some more games that they weren't expected to. They're starting to slowly move down that draft board. They're not going to be in contention for Caleb Williams. They're not going to be in contention for Drake May, who just announced that he's leaving UNC, won't play in the bowl game, and he's going to start preparing for the NFL draft. So there's a good chance that Daniel Jones is going to be back as the Giants starting quarterback next year. And I think that's a problem for the Giants. And I'll give Daniel Jones credit. Last year, with nothing around him, he played well. They had to pay him. But I don't think Daniel Jones is going to be this consistently really good, successful quarterback in the NFL. But this story, this Tommy DeVito, is one of my favorite stories of the season. It really is. Because I love an improbable story that is centered around food, family, and football. And that's the Tommy DeVito story. Eat some chicken cutlets with his parents before the game. Then you see him rock MetLife Stadium last night in that final drive. And after the game, he got his family hugging and kissing. And it's just, it's a really cool, from a human standpoint, it's a story that is very easy. And I'm not a Giant fan, but it's very easy to root for this kid and see how far he takes it. And eventually, right, his special sauce that he's cooking up on the field, it's gonna run out. Like, I don't expect this guy to go on and be the guy for the next 4, 5, 10 years of the Giants. But as long as this continues in a year where there's been no reason to talk about the Giants because they've been a disappointment, and I expected them to regress because they overachieved last year. But now, it's like, all right, you got a story for the final 4 weeks of the season to see what this kid can do moving forward. And bare minimum, he's playing himself to being a backup quarterback and probably have a little more of a lucrative contract somewhere else next year, even if it doesn't go down the path of him becoming a regular starter in the NFL. Now, on the flip side, I think a lot of people today are going to slam Jordan Love. And a lot of people today are going to say, Jordan Love is not that dude. He's not that guy for the Green Bay Packers. I think it's important to remember that Jordan Love, even though he's been in the league for a few years, this is his first true year as a starting quarterback. Not everyone could be Lamar Jackson, first true year as a starter, win a unanimous MVP. Or Patrick Mahomes, first true year as a starter, wins the MVP and throws for 50 passing touchdowns. Those situations, those performances that we saw from Lamar and that we also saw from not only Lamar but Patrick Mahomes, those are anomalies. Those are something that you usually and rarely ever see someone be able to master the NFL their first true season starting. So for Jordan Love, guy was on a 3-game win streak, had a great performance up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and last night it was up and down. And that's just a natural roller coaster ride when you have a young quarterback in this league. There's going to be moments where he could take down the Chargers, the Lions, and the Chiefs. Three really good wins. And then there will be moments when you're going up against a Giant team that doesn't have a lot of life, that doesn't have a lot of energy around them headed into the game last night, that's not viewed as a good team, where you drop a game that you're not supposed to. But even with the ups and downs, Love still made some big third down plays, and he gave them the lead at the end of the game. Like, when I look back at that game last night, sure, it's easy because what we do is we dumb it down in really sports talk, and we only talk about quarterbacks and we only talk about coaches. Like, after every game, 9.9 times out of 10, the conversation is all, what did this coach do? What did this quarterback do? What did this coach do well? What did this quarterback do well? What did this quarterback do in a bad way? What did this coach do in a bad way? But my takeaway from last night is, even with some of the ups and downs by Jordan Love, he did enough to put his team in a position to win, and the defense couldn't find a way to keep Tommy DeVito out of field goal range. Like, Tommy DeVito, who most people didn't even know who the heck he was before last night, quickly moved that ball down the field. And within seconds, they were in field goal range. So this idea that Jordan Love is going to get all the criticism today, I think it's nonsense. And this is what I'll say to Packers fans too. How many years did I sit here when Aaron Rodgers would lose a big game and you would blame every other person besides Aaron Rodgers? And now today we're going to blame Jordan Love in a game where, even though he didn't play his best, he still got a touchdown pass late to put the team up? You got to rip the defense. You have to rip the defense, because that defense couldn't stop a true rookie in Tommy DeVito. And I don't care how great the DeVito story is and how much we just praised it and all that stuff. That defense, in an opportunity to really separate yourself a little bit in the NFC in that crazy wild card hunt, you had a good chance to do that. You had a good chance to get to your 7th win of the season, and you blew it. And now you're 6-7. And you look at the NFC right now, sure, Niners 10-3, Cowboys 10-3, Eagles 10-3, Lions 9-4. But after that, Vikings 7-6, Buccaneers 6-7, Green Bay 6-7, Rams 6-7, Seahawks 6-7, Falcons 6-7, Saints 6-7, and the Giants, I guess, are still alive, and the Bears holding on to their last breaths, but they're at 5-8. And both those teams are coming off victories, where the Bears beat the Lions and the Giants just beat the Packers. So Green Bay doesn't make the playoffs, let's just say. They'll go back to last night and their defense letting them down. And their schedule's favorable the rest of the way. Like, it's not the toughest teams ever. You play Tampa Bay. Panthers stink. You play Minnesota, who doesn't have a quarterback. And then you play the Bears. You got to find a way. What? 9 wins probably gets you in? 9? You know, can we have a wild card team? I know we had a division winner last year, 8-9. Can we have a division? Can we have a wild card team, though, at 8-9? But when you look at that schedule, you needed to win 3 more games. And you blew one last night because your defense couldn't find a way to get the job done. Anthony in Myrtle Beach next up on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. Ant, what's happening?
What's going on, Zach, my man? How you feeling today, brother?
Doing fantastic. I'm feeling like $1 million. I'm feeling like I could eat some chicken cutlets right now, if I'm being honest with you.
Yes, sir. I mean, come on. How do you not love that story? I'm over here with Tommy Cutlets went around with the Italian purse. What that means, he's saying, like, what do you want from me? Like, what do you want to do? That's what that gesture means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And right now, if you don't like it, try to stop it. And this kid right now is playing himself in a better position than anyone could have ever imagined.
That's right. Go Tommy Cutlets and go Titans. Come on. We knew that was happening.
Pat Boyle did. I'll give credit to Pat Boyle. And I usually, you know, Pat Boyle, I kind of look at him like he's like a little brother to me a little bit. And like when you have a little brother relationship, you like to jab at your little brother. But then if anybody else pokes fun at your little brother, you smack the other person over their cabeza. So I always make fun of Pat because I always see him post his gambling and his winnings. But he never post the picks before they're made. Like, it's always like, oh, look at me. I hit this insane 10-leg parlay to win, like, $15,000 or something like that from Pat Boyle. So I said to Boyle last night, give me a few picks and put them out on Twitter. And Boyle went 2 for 2. He bet $86.08. Well, your fund's low. And he won $386.03. He had Tennessee on an alt spread. That's how you know he's a degenerate when you make an alt spread of plus 17.5. Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown, which you were both on. And then he had to sweat it out at the end. Dolphins under 30.5. Winner. The other Boyle pick was Tennessee plus 20.5, the Titans. And then the Giants plus 10.5. And that was $156.65 to win 300. What's up with your bizarre numbers here?
It's the OCD that I have. I wanted, you know, when you see like what it would pay out, the total payout,
mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be, you know, for the first one, 86 to win 386. So it was $300. So
okay.
That's why I was like, you know, 8 cents got it to the 386. And then the next one, I wanted it so that the winnings were 300 even.
Gotcha.
So that's why you get the cents being bet in there.
By the way, I looked at my total winnings for the last 2 years using an app. I just saw that that's a feature that you could see. I was surprised. How much do you think I was down, by the way?
Down over the last 2 years?
Yeah. And I had a historically bad gambling season last year.
Okay, so over the last 2 years, let's say you're down a grand.
No, I was only down $11.06.
Wow.
I was shocked. Now, anytime touchdowns, I've done a really good job. That's been my saving grace. But
you're playing 500 ball, baby.
But the spread picks have been terrible. Some may say, you know, I go win a few more games, I could be the new Tommy Cutlets here.
Well, you put out the challenge for me yesterday, bro. So I told you.
You aced it.
Both teams would keep it close, and Derrick Henry would score. Shame for you. I know you had that big parlay where Romeo Doubs had that
get
touchdown.
Get another foot down. We're good at plus 670. Oh, he killed me, Romeo Doubs. What a disgrace. Get the second foot down, dummy. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. What does the Shohei Ohtani deferrals mean for Major League Baseball? The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Minnesota Vikings linebacker Ivan Pace Jr.? The rookie racked up a game-high 13 tackles in addition to a sack and a pass breakup that he sealed the win over the Raiders, with an interception in the final 2 minutes as the Vikings defense posted a shutout in a very memorable 3-0 victory in favor of the Vikings that did torture Stuart Kovacs with his Las Vegas Raiders. All righty, let's get to a little Shohei Ohtani right now. So usually in sports, the financing and the finances of sports does not really resonate with me. I sometimes think the finances of sports makes for really boring radio. And I like to do a show where I think about the listener. And it's not just what I want to talk about, but I think it's what the listeners want to hear about. And a lot of times when you talk about finances and you hear people talk about all these millions and millions and millions of dollars that these billionaires are spending, it sounds a lot of like blah, blah, blah to me. But the Shohei Ohtani one is fascinating to me. And I think the reaction that many people have is one that I don't really get. So there's one thing to say what the Dodgers are doing is unfair. But I've seen the last 24 hours since these details have been announced, and Bob Nightingale had it, that Ohtani will annually defer a stunning $68 million of his $70 million salary. We all know the 10-year contract, $700 million. And the deferred payments will start in 10 years, one executive said. It lowers the Dodgers' competitive balance tax to $46 million a year. And Nightingale says this was Ohtani's idea, persons close to him do say. So I've seen in the last 24, 48 hours or so, with since this story's gotten some life, a lot of people are like, up, Ohtani's now unlikable. Up, Ohtani's now becoming a villain. And people are shredding Ohtani for deferring these payments. And they're saying, oh, this doesn't make sense from a financial standpoint. Whether it does or doesn't, I don't care. But when did people start ripping athletes for, I don't want to say taking less money, but putting the team in a better situation financially to go get other players? Because Shohei Ohtani, he cares about winning first and foremost. Like Ohtani, not, you know, he's not irrelevant. That's not the right word. Because he's the biggest name in the sport. He's the biggest attraction in the sport. But Ohtani was kind of like living his life with the Angels. And every time you go on the road, you have so many fans that would be in the building to just see Shohei Ohtani. He's one of one. He's made such a big impact. But he was kind of left alone, even though we talked about him a lot. But he was kind of left alone with the Angels. But this guy's a winner. This guy wants to win. And he was in the Angels organization for 5-6 years. And just like they did with Mike Trout, at least they made the playoffs once with Mike Trout. He had that quick 3-game sweep. But they never made the playoffs with Ohtani and Trout together. So Ohtani in this free agency went about it in a way where it was a big story. It was a highly coveted story, but there wasn't a lot of daily updates. Like the only real update we ever had was a few days before the signing took place and the announcement, where it appeared that he was potentially going to Toronto. And then John Morosi got the story wrong and he wasn't on a flight to Toronto. And the big feeling, right, at the All-Star game, I would say, was probably Dodgers, Dodgers, Dodgers. And it ended up being the Dodgers, but there wasn't a lot of fanfare with his decision, as he posted the Dodgers logo on Instagram, and it wasn't to have all this really like pomp and circumstance and, oh, look at me and this and that. So it's funny to me where how many times we'll slam a player for being too public, for being too outspoken, for making it too much about him. But then when a player doesn't want to make it about him, when he tried to keep his lips sealed all throughout this process, and then the numbers come out, and it's like, whoa, $700 million, a contract of 10 years? Wow. And then you find out, well, he's actually deferring $68 million of that each and every year, and it's going to lower the competitive balance tax to $46 million a year. I don't get some of the outcry from people that are, is it like, are they turning on Ohtani? Because, you know, I'm in a group chat with my buddies, and a lot of them are like, oh, Ohtani's now a villain. Oh, I'm not rooting for Ohtani. But your frustration shouldn't be directed at Ohtani. It should be directed at Major League Baseball and that this is allowed. Because to save this much money on the deferred payments and to have the CBT only be $46 million a year, that's not Ohtani's fault. That's not Ohtani's problem. There was a problem in the system. And if this allows the Dodgers to still get Yamamoto or to go get another pitcher, and they need pitching. They need healthy pitching too. But I don't crush Ohtani for this because this guy wants to win. And yeah, he'll go make $40, $50 million a year now in endorsements. So go make your $40, $45, $50 million in endorsements now. You'll still get $2 million a year from the Dodgers. And then 10 years from now, You're going to have so much money that you're going to continue to get in even when your playing days are over. So, Stu, like, you're a big baseball fan. I know Boyle is as well. Does this deferred payments by Ohtani, does it make you change the way that you view Ohtani? Because I was surprised by my friends how they're like, "Up, I don't like Ohtani. I don't like how he went about this." And I just don't understand that side of the argument, because your problem should be with Major League Baseball how this is allowed, because Ohtani is trying to put the Dodgers in the best position with already some all-time greats and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Now you have Ohtani, and as long as they can get the right pitching, he's just trying to win something he's never done so far in his career on a baseball diamond in America with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. And the first reaction I had wasn't like outrage at the Dodgers. How are they doing this? How are they skirting the rules? My first reaction is, oh, wow, Ohtani, at least for now, look, he's going to make a ton of money in endorsements. So it's not like, oh, poor Ohtani, making $2 million a year. But my first reaction was, oh, wow, he's actually taking less right now for the Dodgers to have a better chance of winning a World Series, which is what he wants to do. What he has not had in his time with the Angels, the 5 years he's been there, 5 or 6 years he's been there. Now he has the chance to do that because he's taking less money and now they can add more players. That was my first reaction, not, oh, Dodgers, oh, what are they doing?
Pat, how about you? Where do you lie on this? Because usually financials, they bore me in the sports conversation, but I really do think a lot of the conversations the last 2 days have just been ridiculous with this.
I don't blame Shohei Ohtani. This is like what you dream for every athlete on your team to want to do. Like Tom Brady with the Patriots taking lesser deals. Shohei Ohtani saying, hey, I'll take $2 million a year for now. It's going to be 700 million because he knows he's going to get hundreds of millions in advertisements in Japan and both here in the States and across the world, really. He's an international superstar at this point. And I'm not mad at the Dodgers either for doing it.
Because that's smart.
It gives them a chance to win. What I'm mad at is Rob Manfred,
allowed?
Like usual.
Yeah.
Clown Rob Manfred and the collective bargaining agreement that has allowed for this to happen. From now on, I saw a tweet. I forget who tweeted it, but I was along the same lines of what I was thinking. Whatever the average dollars per year that you're paying somebody, $700 million across 10 years, $70 million, that is the cap. That should be the cap hit
right
every
now.
Single
Agreed.
Year. Not, oh, we're going to defer payment and it's only 46 so we can still spend and we don't have to go over luxury tax. No, you're giving them $700 across 10 years. It's $70 million a hit every single year.
I agree.
That's what's fair.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I also love when you take a shot at Rob Manfred because I get tired in taking all these shots at Rob Manfred.
I know my audience.
Yeah, you're not wrong with that. And the commissioner is not a big fan of me. That has been relayed to me by people that know the commissioner. He heard all the bitching and complaining that I did about him during the pandemic. And we have a mutual friend. And the commissioner made it clear when he found out that friend knows me that he is not the biggest fan of yours truly. So, Rob, if you're listening, how you doing? How you doing, Rob? I'm sure he's probably already crapping his pants, Rob Manfred, just the thought of having to hand out another commissioner's trophy coming up in October or November. Because whenever that guy does a trophy presentation, it is embarrassing.
I'm Snoop Dogg, and I'm giving up smoke. I know what you're thinking. Snoop, smoke is kind of your whole thing. But I'm done with it. I'm done with the coughing and my clothes smelling all funky. I'm going smokeless. Solo Stove Fixed Fire. They took out the smoke. Now you can have a nice blaze without any clouds ruining your day. Go smokeless. Go to solostove.com. Tell them Big Snoop Dogg sent you.
When things feel a bit chaotic, Instacart helps deliver milk and sausage. Add a little life to your cart. Get stuff from literally all your stores, from baby wipes to albacore. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
Bring the sounds of the season to life with the Philips Fidelio FB1 soundbar featuring DTS:X and IMAX Enhanced. Build your full home theater wirelessly when you connect to multiple devices using DTS Play-Fi technology and experience the thrill of immersive audio that moves above and around you as it transports you into your favorite films when you're home for the holidays. Visit philips.com/home-sound to learn more. DTS.
Dedicated to sensational.
Ah, the satisfying sounds of more sales in your business. And from the sound of it, your business is growing.
But you shouldn't have to pay more to scale your business. With Stamps.com, you can import orders from wherever you sell online, find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times, and instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers and stock up on supplies. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.